from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. So we actually have a lot to talk about today, even though we're just one day into spring training, and some of the topics today don't actually necessarily relate to the start of spring training, and we'll have a lot of time, as spring training is very long, to talk about the, you know, whatever may happen down in Scottsdale. But we do have some news. The Giants finally officially announced the Wilmer Flores signing, so we'll discuss that. And then just the other day, Fangraphs came out with its top 100. So we now have the top 100 prospects lists for Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, which we somehow missed and didn't talk about, which includes some really interesting ratings that for Giants prospects that differ than other publications. And we also have MLB Pipeline. So speaking of Baseball Prospectus, I also want to talk about their Pecota projections, which are negative relative to some other projections for the Giants. Really going to try to squeeze in a lot on today's show. And we'll start with the Wilmer Flores signing becoming official. So the contract officially is a two-year, $6.25 million deal. And the way it works out is that he makes $3 million in 2020, $3 million in 2021, and then there's a $3.5 million club option for 2022 with a $250,000 buyout. So that's how the guarantee is 2 years, $6.25 million. But it could be as much as a three-year, $9.5 million deal. The Giants will have that option. So on first glance, it very much looks like a nice value bargain signing for the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, that is not something that we were used to saying under the old front office. So this type of signing, I mean, Wilmer Flores could potentially provide a lot of surplus value if he can perform like he has in past seasons, especially 2019. And if he can be effective, especially in a platoon, but interestingly, Farhan Zaidi did say that his bat matches up against right-handed and left-handed pitching. And we did talk about, I noted at the time that in the beginning of his career, he actually was a big platoon player. He was like 20% below average against righties and 20% above average against lefties. But in the last three seasons combined, he's actually been pretty evenly matched, like 10% above average against both. So some of that may just be regression to the mean. You know, it would be weird that in order for him to get better against righties, he also got worse against lefties. So maybe he was never quite that good against lefties, and it's more like 10 to 15% above average as opposed to 20, like it was early in his career. But what's especially interesting about the last three seasons is that he has been effective against right-handed pitching as well. So we're all kind of treating this like he's just going to be a platoon player, but they seem to think, and I mean, the evidence suggests, and Farhan Zaidi's statement, he matches up against righties and lefties, seems to indicate that they think he's an overall quality player no matter who's on the mound. And so if that's what they're expecting out of him, then $3 million a year is indeed a bargain. You know, defense is a question, but he has moved all over the diamond. Don't really see him being very good at shortstop or third base, but I think, you know, in a pinch, he could play. He has historically played those positions. He has some experience. So, you know, first base is probably his best match, but I just think he's going to be an integral part of this Giants team as kind of a swing guy who moves around and kind of mixes and matches and is just a valuable super utility type player. For the Giants, he's only 28 years old. It's ultimately just a two-year commitment, and worth reiterating, it's the first multi-year deal handed out by Farhan Zaidi, and he may in fact be here for three seasons. So welcome to the Giants, Wilmer Flores. So with that out of the way, I guess I really want to focus on the prospect rankings in greater detail. So instead of starting that conversation and then having to cut it off to break for the second half of the show, instead, I want to talk about projections, because these Pecota projections came out and they got some attention from people covering the Giants because they are not very good. I think the Giants, they have projected here to be 68 and 94. It's actually 68.4 and 93.6. So, you know, kind of 68 or 69 wins and 93 or 94 losses. So that's the lowest I've seen. We had other kind of sources we've seen give an estimate of a record for the Giants. We had like Vegas odds, I think, that had them at 70 and 92. So that's close, but still Pecota is lower than even Vegas. But then using FanGraphs and Steamer projections, we can actually basically figure out what their projection would be, even though they haven't actually released a projection. And I've been doing that for weeks, and kind of based on the, you know, just looking at the projections for individual players, we can figure out what they would project the record to be, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 73 wins. And actually, I don't know if this is using Steamer, but FanGraphs has released a 2020 projected full season win percentage total. They don't, for whatever reason, put out the win-loss record projection, but they do have the win percentage projection, which I just saw show up, I think, in the last couple of days here. And that projection has the Giants at a 450 winning percentage, which would be 73 wins. So we're seeing a range from 68 to 73. And honestly, I'm taking the over on the low ones. I think, you know, low 70s is certainly a possibility. I think the only way they get into the high 60s is if a lot of things don't go right, and or if there's a big sell-off at the trading deadline, which is a possibility, but I very much doubt that that's factored in to these projections. In fact, I know it's not. They're not going to expect that players are going to be traded and then new players are going to come in. There's no way they could possibly predict that, and so it's based on the players they actually have. And if you look at some of the individual numbers that make up this projection, I just take the over on some of these players. So I want to reiterate, I am not by any means predicting tremendous success in a playoff run, but I do think, and this is not the most scientific thing to say, but the Giants did finish out the year 55 and 51 beginning June 1st. And in that time, 4 months, they did have a run differential that was close to zero. And so it's not like they massively overperformed. A run differential of zero would suggest a 500-ish record. And I just happen to think that even with the losses of Madison Bumgarner and Steven Vogt and Will Smith and Kevin Pillar, that they actually more than made up the difference and probably have a stronger team, a deeper team entering 2020 than they had in 2019. And they, you know, when they all came together and took shape after a couple of months of more serious roster turnover, like this, like Mike Yastrzemski hadn't established himself, Alex Dickerson wasn't on the team, Mauricio Dubon had not arrived yet, some of the younger pitchers who showed some promise hadn't established themselves at all yet in the first couple of months of the year. So if you factor them all in, plus add who they added, and I happen to like those players as supplemental players. I don't think they added, you know, an impact player, but I think the they're not going to get that like extremely negative performance that they got from some players in 2019. I think the floor has been raised where you're going to see major league caliber production, even if it's not star level production, kind of across the board on this roster. So anyway, that's my two cents, just to not only read into the Pecota projections, but also look at other sources as well. Because as we'll see with the prospect rankings, different sources have different kind of evaluations of where you're at. So just keep in mind, Pecota at whatever, 68 wins is very much the low projection from any source we've seen thus far. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, I want to look at, you know, the new FanGraphs prospect rankings. We've talked about Baseball America. We've talked about MLB Pipeline, but now we'll put it all together with Fangraphs and Baseball Prospectus and see where everybody stands. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix, within 50 miles. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving. Or just take in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Bringing the kids along to spring training? Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. There's tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway now at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Okay, here in the second half of the show, I want to consolidate all the different prospect rankings we've seen. Somehow I missed, and it seems like the media, other media outlets as well, missed Baseball Prospectus releasing its top 100, it's actually a top 101 prospects list in January, on January 27th. We heard about Baseball America, we heard about MLB Pipeline, we heard about Fangraphs just the other day, but I never really saw anything, and we didn't talk about on this show, the Baseball Prospectus list. And so we'll review that as well as the Fangraphs list and kind of look at all four from a bird's eye view so we can kind of get a sense of where the industry lands on these Giants prospects. So with Baseball Prospectus and Fangraphs, those are the two we haven't talked about on this show. What's especially interesting, we'll start with Baseball Prospectus, is that Marco Luciano and Elliot Ramos get their high rankings from Baseball Prospectus. Luciano is ranked as the 14th best prospect in baseball by Baseball Prospectus, and Elliot Ramos ranks all the way at 34. From any of the four outlets we're talking about here, the next highest ranking for Ramos is 63rd. He lands in the 60s for everybody else, but BP has him at 34th overall. Luciano is ranked 19th by Baseball America, 24th by Fangraphs, and 35th by MLB Pipeline. Joey Bart comes in for Fangraphs at number 10 overall among all prospects in baseball. For Baseball Prospectus, he lands at 25th. So there's kind of a range for Bart and Ramos. There's kind of a big swing between the high mark and the low mark. For Bart, number 10 is the best we've seen, but MLB Pipeline also pretty aggressively named him the 14th best prospect in baseball. So 10th, 14th, 25th, and 32nd. That's the four rankings for Bart. Hunter Bishop appears on Baseball Prospectus's list at number 68. He's also on MLB's list at number 71. He's not ranked on Baseball America's or Fangraph's top 100. And keep in mind, that doesn't mean that next year he can't be on that ranking. He was just drafted in 2019, and sometimes it takes some time before these prospects, you know, get closer to the majors and start showing up on lists like this. Seth Corey, he had the one ranking that came from MLB Pipeline coming in at number 99. He was not ranked on any of the other publications' lists. As we said, Luciano, 19th, 14th, 24th, and 35th. And Elliot Ramos, 63rd, 65th, 68th, and then 34th. So all in all, this is a nice little prospect collection for the San Francisco Giants, with five players being named to the various top 100 lists. It has been a long time since the Giants had five players who appeared on these lists. And especially with Bart and Luciano, this is like the first time since Posey and Bumgarner that the Giants had two high-end prospects like this. And really, it's the first time since Posey or Bumgarner that they had one high-end prospect like this. So Luciano is only going to be 18 years old for like the entirety of the minor league season. So the fact that he's already ranking in the top, generally in the top 25, at 18 years old. I mean, he was 17 all of last season, and now he's going to be 18 all of this season. That's exciting. And the consensus that I've heard around, you know, these prospect analysts is that he's pretty likely to be someone who's clearly a top 10 and or top 5 and or top 3, possibly number 1 prospect in all of baseball entering next season. So the sky is the limit for Marco Luciano, and it's very exciting. It'll be very exciting to follow his continued development in 2020. As for Joey Bart, I mean, being ranked in the top 10, top 15 by MLB is also very exciting, especially because he's on the doorstep of the major leagues, and we very likely could see him in a Giants uniform this season. He's in Scottsdale, his second big league camp. He's probably going to play a lot this spring. And what especially stands out with Bart is that he has really good defensive skills. He's a big-bodied catcher, but doesn't act like it. He's nimble and agile and has a really strong throwing arm, and he's a good receiver, a good framer. He has leadership qualities. And with the bat, he has some of the most playable power in all of the minor leagues. He has enormous raw power that scouts think he's going to be able to get to in games. And so, you know, it's been a while since the Giants had a big thumper, and a right-handed thumper in their lineup, but that is potentially what Joey Bart could be. I think the question has always been and remains, will he hit enough to get to that power consistently? And if he does, you're looking at a potential star. So, you know, injuries shortened his 2019 season, but his progress, along with Hunter Bishop, along with Elliot Ramos, along with Seth Corey, it's going to be a fascinating season in the minors for the Giants. I mean, the improvement of their farm system is a huge story. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick, and that's where I'm going to post the prompt for tomorrow's Q&A. So that prompt will go up today, and feel free to submit questions in the comments or via direct message, and we'll get to them and discuss them on tomorrow's show. So cannot wait to do that tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.